Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hey, everybody. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling and my brand new book, Get Shit Done. I'm joined by the lovely, the talented, the fabulous
Jen Gittimer, author of Sales in a New York Minute. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. This is going to be yet another amazing episode on Sell or Die, the podcast to more than 2 million downloads, thanks to you.
Ooh, 2 million and one, counting you, bub. If you'll just share this out there with the rest of the world, we would be ever so grateful. But in the meantime, this is about money. This is about your money. This is about making sales. This is about having a better attitude. This is about doing shit that you know you're supposed to do, but you don't do it because you're too busy watching Netflix.
Talking about making more money, you have an event coming up in Charlotte called the Seven-Figure Sales Formula Live event.
Yep. A two-dayer.
It's kind of cool. And by kind of, I mean really freaking cool, because it's the first time, at least since I've been with you, Jeffrey, that you're hosting a two-day event, public event,
yep,
with multiple speakers,
yep,
multiple different topics,
yep,
anything ranging from
How to drop out of college?
No.
That's what I did. It worked.
No, but like, you know, you have Joe Soto coming in. He's a master at marketing. He's the guy who's behind very famous, well-known entrepreneurs like Tai Lopez and some others.
He was their guy.
Yep. And we have
Wyatt Woodsmall.
I always want to call him Waldo. Like, where's Waldo? I don't know why.
I'll tell you why, but off camera.
Okay. Well, anyway. Anyway, Wyatt Woodsmall, which you have probably never heard of. I had never heard of, but he is phenomenal. You've seen him speak, right, Jeffrey? Mm-hmm.
I have indeed.
And you guys, he's the guy that taught Tony Robbins. What?
And we have some unannounced people.
Mm-hmm.
That are
we confirm one speaker today who's going to be freaking phenomenal.
Who?
I can't tell. It's a surprise. But it's a female.
Yeah. We're going to do a bunch of stuff.
And she's really, really, really good. And she's been on the show before. But I'm not going to say who. It's a surprise.
Yeah, just go back through our archives.
Just go to seven-figure...
Salesformula.com.
No, just go to sevenfigureevent.live.
Oh.
No, I don't know the address. We're going to find it out.
It'll be in the notes.
Yeah.
From this show, which will also be in the notes, because...
Adam's already writing down that this part needs to be edited.
Here's the deal.
Okay, I got
the
address.
We're live and it's real. Let it play.
It's
what's the big deal?
This is it. The number seven. Don't write out SEVEN. That's too long. It's the number seven, figuresalesformula.live. SevenfigureSalesFormula.live. And
you can buy a ticket for cheap.
Yeah. Yeah.
2 days. I think it's $297 or something.
Yeah. There's still an early bird going on. It's $297. And it's going to be freaking awesome. So
you come to Charlotte, you stay around the corner. We're going to be having it, I think, at the...
We can't announce that yet. No contract yet.
We'll have the contract today. You'll have information tomorrow. It'll be up on the website. It'll be up. It'll be all over the place.
Anyway, it's March 27th and 28th. And you should definitely hit up that page, sevenfigureSalesFormula.live.
So here's the deal. Everybody wants to know, what are you going to learn at an event? And the answer is, you're going to learn from speakers, people like me, that are going to talk to you about what you can do in your sales life, in your productivity life, in your attitude life, in your believe life, all the elements that have to do with you and your success. There's going to be NLP, positive persuasion people. There's going to be LinkedIn people. There's going to be all kinds of business building things, sales things that you can literally can earn from immediately. You can probably turn in your phone and learn immediately. But more important, there's going to be other people on fire in the audience sitting next to you.
Yeah.
That's the real value of these kind of things. You make lifelong friends. And Jen goes to a lot of events. And sitting next to her are unknown people that become her friends, her coworkers, her her masters of intelligence, all kinds of people that she interacts with on a regular basis. Some have become lifelong friends.
I mean, life's about who you surround yourself with, right? And so this is going to be an event mainly for entrepreneurs, a room filled of entrepreneurs who are just freaking crushing it and wanting to get to the next level.
Some salespeople.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, you guys, it's Monday, and
It is Monday?
It is Monday.
Oh, it is Monday.
Today, at the time of this recording, and probably at the time when it airs.
But you may be listening. It might be Tuesday.
It may be any day. But I want to talk to you guys, before we get into this episode, quickly, about what we did this morning. So it started with over the weekend. Jeffrey and I were at dinner, and we were at a chicken rotisserie chicken place, and we took a paper napkin, and was it there? I think. And we took a Sharpie, and we just started writing down all of our ideas and to make money and outstanding leads. And we just started compiling this list, just list everything out. And then I transfer that to a shared Google Doc. And today, this morning, for about an hour or two.
Yeah, an hour.
We literally sat with that doc, facing that doc on each of our computers, and just contacted each person one by one.
We have a half dozen meetings set, and it's now 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Charlotte. And, you know, things are rolling. But before this week is out, we will have meetings, money, and magnificent relationships.
It just made me think, the cool thing as an entrepreneur or a salesperson is that you get to decide and you get to control how much money you're going to make this week, this month, this year. And it all comes down to your actions and your beliefs behind those actions. So we could have sat there and said let's figure it out another time or whatever. And instead we were like, no, there's no time to waste. Let's get to it. It's Monday. Let's boom. You know, and from 11 to 12, it was power hour. There is so much you can get done in an hour. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
When you're really focused.
It's pre-prepared hour. It's not what can we do?
Right.
We already had made our list. And from that list, there was a few other things that got spawned from it. But the bottom line is we had a base of names and things and ideas, and we just built on those, and it worked.
Yeah.
But the key is our partnership is also a friendship and a husband-wife relationship, and it works because we're pals.
Yeah.
And we get each other, and we understand each other. We know how to communicate with each other, and we know how to make up.
We weren't fighting.
Oh, I know, but we do know how to make up.
Oh, my God. Okay, so that's a different podcast for another time. But for this time, I just wanted to make sure that we're not just telling you to do these things.
Right, we do them ourselves.
We literally do them ourselves. We sat there and had a power hour today of making phone calls, sending emails, sending follow-up texts, that kind of thing. And I highly recommend you do the same.
Now, keep in mind, and I do have some kind of an advantage because people know me and they may want to connect with me more than they might want to connect with you. I'm not reaching out to sell something. I'm reaching out with ideas that might ultimately result in a sale. But you think about that because you're reaching out with a product that you're trying to convey, sell, install, whatever. I'm reaching out with an idea. And that idea can create hey, I have an idea. What is it? Now you have engagement.
People want to know.
You have engagement.
Yeah.
And I'm able to engage pretty much with anybody.
Yeah.
Or the people that I want to engage with. And they want to know what the idea is. And they want to know how everyone benefits from it. And we've had really, really good response this morning from that kind of outreach. So if you're looking to make an outreach, stop making calls to see if somebody's interested.
None of these were hey, just calling to follow up. No. These were all hey, we thought of something for you.
Yeah.
It's like the jeweler. I love this. The jeweler called me because he knows I wanted to take part of my grandma's ring and turn it into something else. And a leftover
piece. Like a pumpkin?
Yeah, kind of like a pumpkin. And I couldn't figure
out watch me turn this ring into a pumpkin.
So I have this gold band, essentially, that was a size 3 and didn't fit me. And I didn't want it. He said I could sell it back for $25 or $30. And I'm like, there is no amount of money that you could buy this piece of gold from. This was my grandma's. And I was like, let's make something of it. But what? I don't know. So I had an appointment that I had to reschedule. And I had never called back to reschedule. And he called me and he's like, hey, I was thinking about you. And I came up with a couple mock-ups. and drawings of what we could do with that piece of gold that you have. Now, let's think about this for a second. Right. I'm like, okay, I can't wait. When can I come in? But, you know, that's like such a simple sale because he knows it's emotional already for me. And he's come up with ideas for me. Gosh, I want to like run over there right now. And so,
we have to go now.
No, you have to put your client in that same emotional state. You have to come up with ideas for them that they feel they're either going to win from. Like that to me would be a huge win. If I could wear grandma's like ring and a necklace every day or something, that would be so freaking cool. But win, profit, do better from, save time, save money. These are the kind of ideas you need to be thinking about for your peeps.
I concur, Jen. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the introduction to this week's episode, which we may have pre-recorded. And you may even have heard it before, but I doubt it. But it was so nice, we decided to play it twice. It's Monday. It is Monday. And that can only mean one thing. It is now It is now time for Motivation Monday, a sell or die extra. It is live on Facebook. And we have people who have joined us already. Jen will thank them. Jen, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, by the way. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling. And I'm joined by...
I'm Jen Gleckow, CEO and founder of Sales in a New York Minute. What's up, everyone?
We're joined? Yeah, there's some peeps on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of you, actually. I see Wes Wyatt is here. Dynamite Wes, what's up? We've got Alex Vang. Hello, hello. I see that there's like a bunch more of you guys, but you haven't yet said hello. Oh, Rui, hey, it's Ronaldo of Sales. I love it.
Very nice.
Oh, no. He's calling you the Ronaldo of Sales and Jennifer. Hey. Tim, what's up from Toronto? It must be really cold there, I'm assuming. We have Roger. What's going on, Roger? There's a whole bunch of you, but you have not yet said hello. So make sure you pop in the comments hello and tell us where you're watching from. Hello, Melissa from Kennett Square, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, Philly. So there's a heat wave in Toronto. I looked at my phone this morning. It's like 7. I thought it was the time, but it's actually the temperature.
Guys, do us a favor and share this out so that people you know can benefit from this too. Yeah. We have a really important topic today that is not just for salespeople. It's literally relevant for anyone and everyone on this planet.
Your 7-year-old son or daughter will benefit from this today.
That's right, as will you. So make sure you share this out and let us know in the comments when you've done that. We really appreciate it. Ryan, Chris, Barbara, Alessandro, hello, hello, welcome.
So,
I should point out that if you're going to say that your 7-year-old son or daughter could benefit from this, we might want to keep the language to...
okay, well, you can just relay the topics
there
to
we
them,
go.
Okay? Because
no,
this is...
we can just keep it down. We haven't sworn yet, have we?
I don't know.
I don't know. We don't keep count anymore. Stop keeping count.
Zoe's here. What's up, Zoe?
Tell your kid to tune in. Take him out of school. This is going to be worth it.
Okay.
So here's the deal.
We'll watch our language.
We're going to talk this morning about self-confidence. How do you get it? What does it do for you? And do you have any?
Mm-hmm.
There's some secrets. I guess we should really start out with the secrets, right? Because we went to Tiki. What's the secret?
Well, do you want to talk about what's going on before we even talk about the topic?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it. What's going on in your sales world, Jeffrey?
Nothing's happening in my world.
That's
back to you, Jen.
That's not right at all. You're traveling this week.
Going to Houston.
Oh, is that where you're going?
I'm going to Houston.
When I take my name
coach off. On the way out, the first class on the way back, for those of you who are interested. I couldn't get upgraded on the way out.
Yet. That doesn't mean you won't.
That's true.
Manifest it. Just believe that you will have that belief.
Meanwhile, I'm a 9C if you need me.
Hey, someone is here. Alessandro is here from Italy.
Oh, cool.
Hey, Alessandro, did you know we are going to be in Italy in May? Jeffrey's giving a talk, and we'll post a link to that conference in these notes. Alex, we'll get it over to you to post in there if you don't have it. Because that would be really cool. I don't know how far it is from you, but
It's in Milano.
It's in Milan, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's dangerous for the wallet, let me tell you.
What, Milan?
Yeah, you want to buy everything Prada. There. Right. You want to buy literally everything.
Yep. I love Italian clothes, and I love Italian food.
Yeah. I'll especially love buying it in Italy, where it seems like you're getting a deal.
You're right, but you're not.
Right, but exactly. You're not. So Billy says, I was at Barnes & Noble last night in the sales section, and your books were next to each other. Ha ha, so romantic.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we're
love it. That's awesome.
We're connected at the binding.
That's great. I saw an advertisement for both of your books while I was traveling for you guys.
Oh, you cool. didn't send yeah. us a picture, Doug?
Well, it was on one of those
screens. Put it on Instagram?
No, here's what happened. It was on one of those screens that rotated.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm fumbling trying to get my phone out, and I get to it, and it rotated away, and then I stood there for a few minutes, and I had to catch my flight.
Yeah, it doesn't rotate.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
Yep. No problem. It's a flight catcher. So the challenge now for you diehards for this week is, what the hell are you going to do?
What are
you going to do that's different, better than last week when you may not have made all the sales that you were hoping for? And that's what this is all about. This is about challenging you to get to a better place as a salesperson. And what better place could you get to than having a little bit more self-confidence? Now, for those of you who are listening live, I'd like to ask you put in the notes how you get self-confident. What makes you confident when you walk into that sales call or when you're giving that speech?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the confidence level? Because someone one time said, if you're not nervous giving your speech, something's wrong. No. Something's wrong if you are nervous.
That's BS. Yeah.
Something's drastically wrong because you don't own your material. You don't have enough confidence to get out and kill it.
But here's the crazy thing. Like, you will never know that to be true until you prep correctly. And there is so much, what like kills me is there is so much bad advice out there telling you, like, you have to be nervous for your presentation or it's not going to be a good one or whatever. Like, that's normal. It's not normal, guys. You do not have to be nervous. You can walk in there uber confident, ready to win. Okay, and you just need to follow the right advice.
The key is self-confidence does not equal arrogance. Self-confidence equals assertiveness, but not aggressiveness. And you have to look at it from a standpoint of, am I too cocky in this? Or is this something where I'm just walking in basically self-assured? That if anyone asks me a question, I can answer it. That I'm going to be a value provider to these people or this person. And I'm going to make sure that he or she or they walk away with information that they are happy with, that they feel that they can use in their lives. That's a whole process of making your self-confident presentation, whether it's to a person or a group.
That's right. The one, the only, the great Ken Walls has just joined us. What up, Walls of Wisdom, Ken? We also have Steve Woodruff here. Hey, Steve.
Why are we saying all these people's names?
Because I'm happy they're here. Oh. Jeff's here. I mean, this is like, we have so many of our friends here right now. This is amazing. So if you're just joining us.
We get letters. Sorry.
If you're just joining us, thank you for sharing, Ken and Zoe and whoever else shared out there.
Yeah, but what's your self-confidence mode? What's your self-confidence secret?
Yeah, put that in the comments. And then also one more thing for the comments. Type in a yes if you want to have better self-confidence. If you feel like your sales or selling self-confidence could improve, type in a yes right there in the comments.
So how much of self-confidence is derived internally and how much of it is derived externally from people sort of reinforcing how well you're doing at whatever it is you're doing?
Boy, that's real good. You know, mm-hmm. My opinion, and I'm not going to use 74% because it's close. 75% is internal and 25% reaffirms your steadfastness, your ability to convey a solid message. But for me, it is not just internal, it's preparation. So the more I'm prepared and the more – like the first time you give a talk, you may not be as confident as the 10th time you give a talk. So you look at, you know, anybody who's performing on stage as an example. You go out and you watch a concert. They're killing it. They're every note's perfect. Well, dude, it's their 100th time to do it. And the more you do it, the more you practice it, the better you're going to become at being self-confident. And then that will lead you to the next self-confidence and the next self-confidence. And it won't happen 100% of the time. But it will happen enough to where your feeling of self-belief will make certain that you display the confidence, that you give it off.
I would agree that about 75% or so is internal. However, if you were not raised with self-confidence and if, like, your growing up life, that was not instilled in you at all and you were beat down in some way, then it's even more important to really figure out a way to be more self-confident. And we're going to talk about in this episode, we're going to talk about some of the things you can do to be more self-confident.
And I ask that because in the sales process, sometimes when you're in that sales grind, we've heard from a lot of people that say, listen, I'm just going no to no to no to no. And it's beating me down. Like, what do I do about that? So
that's why I'm against cold calling. 98% of the people will tell you no or tell you you're a jerk, and that plays on your own self-confidence. More people quit from cold calling than any other reason in sales.
It does, but it doesn't have to beat you down because you don't have to take that personally. So if you're taking it personally, then you're letting it affect your attitude. You're letting it affect your self-beliefs. You're saying because they were let's think about this for a second. Because you reject this water that I'm selling to you, okay, now I'm a bad person or I'm not a good enough person or I'm a bad salesperson. No, maybe you just didn't want the water. So you cannot take it personally. The product is not you unless the product is you, like you're selling your service of some sort. And then it's even more important for you to have like off the chart self-confidence so that you can display that value and give them full confidence because your confidence is going to transfer over to the prospect.
Let me give you a clue. 100 years ago, when Napoleon Hill was penning his first words found in this book, Truthful Living, which I had the privilege of annotating and editing, chapter 5 is the value of self-confidence and sincerity. Aha. So what he's saying here is that if you are sincere, it's as obvious as you are self-confident. And that is conveyed to the other person and they will feel that, oh man, this person is sincere and he has confidence. I'm going to believe this person more than the normal person that comes along. And I think that's a very important lesson for you as salespeople. You have an opportunity to, you know, think about your sincerity. How genuine is it? How easy is it for you to spot insincerity in others? That's one of my comments inside the book. And it doesn't matter if you think you're sincere. The only opinion that matters is that of the other person.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jeffrey. And Jen, I love your point of separating the work from what makes you who you are as a person, mm-hmm. so that criticism and that rejection can be used constructively to help make your work better. But it doesn't mean that when you go home that you're a bad husband or you're a bad wife or you're a bad father or you're a bad mother. It just means that there might be something missing from the work.
Exactly. Like I've seen this a lot with graphic designers because they get so attached to their work that it's difficult for them to take feedback. Now, our designer, Adrian, is freaking amazing. And while he takes pride in his work, anytime we have given him any constructive feedback, he comes back with like 12 more options and he takes it critically and he takes it to improve.
He takes it as a challenge, not as a down, you know.
Exactly. Because he's confident in his abilities.
Right.
And so you need to be the exact same way with the people with your prospects.
That she just brought up a great word, by the way, pride. Because pride's not the same thing as self-confidence.
No. Mm-hmm. I agree. Because when your kid hits a home run in Little League or gets a medal for skating, you have pride.
Oh, yeah.
And that pride is displayed in just about anything you do if it's yours. You know, you're not proud of the car that you rented, but you are proud of the car that you own. And so you have to look at it from the perspective of, okay, my pride is certainly going to help my self-confidence, but you have to be careful. You can't brag about it.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to show it and exude it.
Yeah, yeah. There's a difference between pride and arrogance.
One of the things that Napoleon Hill harps on is the fact that there are desirable qualities in a human being that are enhanced by self-confidence. Here's a quote of his. "For without self-confidence, you cannot hope to develop the other desirable qualities that you will need as an aid to success in any field of endeavor." In other words, wherever you go, whatever you're trying to convey to somebody, self-confidence is going to help transfer that information and transfer that with self-confidence and sincerity. That's where we're at on that.
I mean, I feel like when you're getting pitched to, you can sniff out a salesperson who's not confident about themselves or what they're pitching immediately. And then that takes a toll on your desire, your trust in their ability to provide that service or product and your purchase. It impacts your purchase.
Think about this. Think about your belief system as it is tied to your self-confidence. That if you genuinely believe in the product or the service that you're conveying or the speech that you're giving or the lesson that you're trying to transfer, if you're a teacher in a school, if you believe in it 1,000%, that self-confidence will be automatic. That sincerity will be automatically felt by the recipient, and you will have conveyed it in a manner that is transferable. That's the whole message. Can I transfer my message with self-confidence, sincerity, and self-belief?
Here's an interesting question. It's a little bit of a philosophical question. Do you believe that self-confidence is rooted in the same things for everyone? Or do you believe that everyone sort of has a different root for that self-confidence?
Well, number one, it depends on how you were raised. If your parents told you you were stupid, that's going to deplete your self-confidence level. If your parents said you were smart and you can do anything, that's going to increase your self. So home environment plays a huge role in self-confidence. You'll never amount to anything, or you can be anything you want.
Yeah, so for me personally, I'll tell you what stands at the root of my self-confidence, and this took a lot of introspection and thought and trying to figure out, like, what makes me feel good about myself as a person. And it's finishing things.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's, you know, chores at home or finishing a project that I'm working on, scratching something off my to-do list really affects how I feel about myself as a person. But I'm not certain that that's the same root cause everyone.
So I believe firmly as an employer, and any of you people out there who are sales managers or you own your own business, entrepreneurs, you should think about this. When your people are off, your team is off doing lots of different projects and then they don't finish it, it's like self-defeating in a way. So I totally agree with you, Doug, that people love to finish what they start and to feel like that pride in their work is huge because they want to know that their project is important. And their project is going to contribute. And that creates confidence that what you're asking them to do as an employer is important, and their contributions are important. And I think that really does lend to self-confidence.
But I think there are other people that when they get dressed up, they look in the mirror, they put nice makeup on or nice jewelry on. It might sound vain to some people, but it gives them a boost of self-confidence, whereas that's not a priority for
when
me.
You look good, you feel good.
And when you feel good, you play good.
And when you play good, they pay good.
Cha-ching.
Deion Sanders.
All right, so I want to talk about something you guys can do right now, unless you have more from Napoleon Hill that you wanted to read.
No, but I would like to say, just in one interaction, I think will help people understand. My daughter, Rebecca, when she was about the same age as Gabrielle, 10 years old, something like that, she came home and she was like all depressed. And she goes, Daddy, I got a bad grade today in math. I said, Rebecca, you have to be more positive. She goes, Daddy, I'm positive I got a bad grade.
That's good. That's real good.
So she was pretty self-confident about the presentation of it. Just
so I want you guys to think about a time where a situation, maybe it was in sales, maybe it was just in life, where you didn't experience the self-confidence you wanted or wished you had experienced, okay? And this is going to be an activity, so you can write this down. This is something you might want to go back to and replay. But I want you to think about that time, and I want you to think about what were the things you were telling yourself? What was that self-talk like? And what were those actual physiological feelings? So when you're not self-confident, there's very specific feelings that you have that maybe you're sweating, maybe you get clammy hands. I don't know, like everyone has something different. And then I want you to think about what were the actions you took as a result of not feeling confident? Because if you were more self-confident, if you had 3 times, 5 times, 10 times the self-confidence, what actions could you have taken or would you have taken? And so then I want you to write down what you could have said instead, what you could have done instead, and think about how can you just squash that negative self-talk, okay? Because when you get in that negative self-talk, and a lot of you, I know, do this, you think to yourself, like, I'm not good enough, or I'm not asking the right questions, or you start getting hard on yourself. But then it's like a shame spiral. You start getting hard on yourself for being hard on yourself.
Shame spiral. Oh, okay. I love
doom.
That.
You're in the cycle of doom. You're in the spiral, the downward spiral that will lead you to a basement someplace in Jersey.
So the last thing I want you to think about are, what could you say differently to yourself? How could you be your best friend to yourself? Because if your friend was telling you they're not good enough or this is not going as well as they would want, you would say really kind things to that person to help them. But are you saying those kind things to yourself? Are you being your best friend so that you can have the most self-confidence? And then what new actions could you take as a result of that newfound self-confidence?
I'm going to throw a couple things at you that might help clarify this. Number one, my buddy Ray Leone was in the national championships for archery, and he was one shot away from winning the national championship. He only needed one more bullseye. And self-talk equals self-performance. Mm-hmm. And any athlete will tell you that. Get the ball over the plate, catch the ball, whatever. And he said, don't miss the bullseye. Don't miss the bullseye. Don't miss the bullseye. And that was his negative side. He should have said, I can hit the bullseye.
Right.
I can hit the bullseye. And he missed the bullseye.
Wait, because when you say don't miss the bullseye, what are you focused on?
Right.
Missing the bullseye.
Okay.
And if you think that's like just sort of metaphysical, philosophical bullshit, sorry for the 7-year-olds.
That's
but
okay.
There have been.
They don't like metaphysical. It's like an R word.
Right. There have been plenty of studies done about the connection of the mental and the physical. And we just know the tip of the iceberg about how our brain function and our consciousness and our thought affects what happens to us physically.
Yeah, for sure. So some of you are talking about my nails. I really appreciate that.
Anyway, let's talk about my nails.
They definitely raise my self-confidence knowing that my nails are on point, for sure. That's like a vain thing I have, but it's very important to me, so thank you.
One of the few vain things either. It's one of the many.
Speaking of Facebook, Rui here on Facebook is commenting, if you are self-confident, your client will trust in your every word because they know that you are genuine, transparent, and above all, know how to help you. So he makes a great point there. Self-confidence, not just about you, it flows through you and people will notice.
That's right.
So if you all remember the televangelist Robert Fuller, for better or for worse, he had a quote that I believe is phenomenal. And the only quote that I know by him is, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? And that is...
Oh, I love that.
That's huge. What
could you do if you knew you couldn't fail? I love that.
You want to bust my balls on that, Doug? If you,
I'm sorry. No, I was speaking to my crew. I didn't.
I thought I was in one of those moments.
No, that's really good, Jeffrey.
Yeah. What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? And I think that there is, you don't want to take too many chances in that regard because it may involve investing all your money. But I want you to make certain that you think of yourself as better than you currently are, more positive than you currently are, and more prepared than you currently are, and that will lead you to more self-confidence.
Sort of like the movie Groundhog Day.
Bingo.
Bill Murray's character found out that he was living the same day over and over again. He couldn't even die. He would just wake up the next morning, and he began to learn how to play piano and begin to better himself because he knew that he could not fail, he could not die.
That's yep. right. That's right.
And just by the way, Groundhog Day is manifesting itself this year here in Charlotte. It's sunny and 60 in the middle of February.
Finally.
I love it. All right.
Yeah, that deserved that.
So I just want to do a very special shout out. That was your welcome, Randall Kenneth Jones. Hey, what's up?
Oh, Randall Kenneth Jones.
Yeah, he's here.
Dude.
Yeah, Dan Miro's here. Ron's here.
We got big shits on the line
today. This is freaking awesome. Yep. We love you guys. We are so glad you're here. We're about to wrap up.
By the way, Kenneth Jones is blowing up right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, your podcast is on fire.
Yeah. It's,
so when are
we actually
going
listen
on?
To it all the way.
All right. So, Jeff, I did not miss your comment. You said in sales, people have always told me I work with my heart. How can you teach that to others? And we are going to talk about that next week on next week's Motivation Monday.
Your heart
what?
Will be covered next week.
There we go. That's the tease.
Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. And I'm reminding you to get out there and sell something with self-confidence, even if your ass falls off.